Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to CCF. It's lovely to see you all. It's lovely to be here. I'm always encouraged just walking in this building, just being surrounded by brothers and sisters in Jesus. So we're going to roll right on with the service in a moment. I should give a special welcome if anyone's new, any new faces, and there's a face over there that I recognize. Sorry, I won't beep. You don't have to come up and share your life stories. Special welcome to anyone who's new. But I just want to open with these words from Colossians by way of encouragement this morning. This is from Colossians 1, and this is talking about God the Father. And it says, "He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, who live in the light." And it goes on to say, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness," where we all once were. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. What a position to be in this morning. Transferred from darkness to light. Set free and forgiven by him, by his finished work. Father God, we just stand in awe of you and what you've done and your finished work, Lord, and get that sense of celebration, Lord, just rising up in my heart, Lord, and as I look to you, and as we look to you this morning, and we celebrate what your Son has achieved for each one of us in his goodness, in his love, in his power. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would lead us into your presence again, Lord. That we would see you as you are, the eyes of our hearts. And we just offer this time to you with expectation in our hearts of what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll hand over to Claire and Lucas and
Peter.
Sorry, I forgot your name for one second. His little head just popped up there. So we're going to hand over to Claire, Lucas, and Peter. There's no one else hiding behind there, is there?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
Well, morning, everyone.
Morning.
We usually have a bit of time of testimony. Between the worship and the word, but I just really want to start with a word of testimony, and also just invite people during the worship, if God gives them a word of encouragement, to share it and or to prayer, to pray it out. But some of you know the journey our family's been on in the last month or so. I have a brother who lives in Southampton, whose kids go to a Christian school, and I've always just been so jealous of that. Just thought it would be so lovely if our kids could go there, but it just it didn't seem like it was something that could happen. But over the last few weeks, the last month, God has made it possible. He's made a way where there seemed to be no way. So this last week, we paid deposit for our kids to start there in September at this Christian school, and God's also provided us a house to rent from a lovely Christian family who are renting it to us cheaper. They're going to work in Israel this summer. So the timing is just perfect that then their house is available. And I did go for a job, but we just really feel that God's just telling us to trust him, and which says, "You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness." This has been our little family anthem that we have sung and sung and sung over the last few months, and I just felt like we wanted to share it with you and just to encourage you by our word of testimony that whatever impossible situations you've got, that God is a way maker and a miracle worker and a promise keeper. So just want to bless you and encourage you with that this morning. We'll start at the beginning of the words.
Thank you.
miracles that you are doing. Thank you for the miracles that you will do. Before we move into the next song, I just felt like there was an additional word of testimony to give. This next song is Who Breaks the Power of Sin and Darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? King of glory, the King above all kings. And the chorus is, this is amazing grace. And I just feel like there's a slight danger of people putting people on a pedestal. I know I've dealt with people on the front. I want you to know I've had a really struggling week. I've had arguments with my family. I've had struggles. And I need God's amazing grace. We all need His amazing grace and His unfailing love. His power breaks. He breaks the power of sin and darkness. His love is so much stronger than all your weaknesses and all your failures and all your sins. And I've had plenty this week. So don't put us on a pedestal. So let's just praise God together. Amen. That He is greater than all of that.
Thank you. what task have you prepared for me today? Who cannot marvel at your wonderful creation, the source of all love and strength, who knows exactly what we need and your loving hand provides? The perfect detail of your plan will never be thwarted. We wait and wonder. Sometimes the impatient and in the wait get distracted from your purposes. But in your faithfulness, you lead us back. Help us to see your light and follow it. Thank you for Holy Spirit who watches over your word to perform it. We ask for clarity and ability to hear your voice.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for giving your precious light, which opens the way to revelation and your complete forgiveness, without which no one can function in your will and plan. We delight in your majesty and give you all the glory you are in. Amen.
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 Singing songs about scripture, because you know you can trust the words entirely. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. This is one of my favourites. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Yeah.
thank you this morning, Lord, that we can join in the angels around your throne, Lord, and cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that you're high and lifted up, Lord, and your train fills the temple.
Amen.
We worship you, Lord. We join in with the angels this morning. We can't find the words in the Lord just to say what we feel about you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. We just want to praise and magnify your name this morning and give you glory for all you've done.
Hallelujah.
And all you're about to do, Lord. We can't wait, Lord, to stand before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I don't like to break the lovely atmosphere of worship, so I'll try and do that very gently. But I think the children have their own activities to go out to. Again, a few nods, so that's good. So, young people, if you'd like to go off and do your thing. Children come to me.
Yes.
I pray that they would come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and that they would be able to sit at your feet and that they would be able to receive what you have for them.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Alan up shortly to bring God's word to us this morning as well, sharing that I have the same word that I was reminded of this week about just that. God looking at me and saying, this is my beloved son. And it's hard to accept that sometimes, isn't it? Because we're so aware of where we fail. And we look at ourselves, but again, we're reminded that it's because Jesus, he just put that righteousness on us, didn't he? And that's what John reminded us of last week, wasn't it? That we're his beloved son, Joseph. Doesn't that mean something? Shouldn't that mean something to us? And it really should. We need to remind ourselves of that. Okay, Alan, come on up. I'm just going to pray for Alan now. Thank you, Father, for Alan, Lord. I thank you for the work that you do in his life, Lord, and that you've done over the years to bring him to this place of just being a man of God who can share what you have for us, Lord. We thank you for him, but we thank you even more what you're going to say, Lord, what you're going to do. We thank you for your grace and your goodness. We just pray that we will hear that this morning pouring forth from Alan to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you to Claire for leading the worship. Excuse me. I'm here this morning to share the love of God. Just check it switched on. Yep, it's on. Is it not switched on at the back? Okay. I'll speak into this until Doug's done what he needs to do.
Good morning. I'm going to share the love of God with you this morning. Our God is a loving Father and he disciplines the ones he loves. So, I'm going to show a video first of all. You may not see Colin and Gail on it, but this is where they are at the moment, I believe. And this is where Ruth and I went at the end of May, early June. It's the Isle of Harris and Lewis. And this is a place called Luskentyre, and it's a beautiful area. And the Isle of Harris and Lewis, as this video plays, it's a very spiritual place. It's been spiritual for many, many centuries, and even pre-Christian, we found some beautiful, peaceful places, especially on, one particular day that was very poignant for us. We found a place of real peace there. Looks like the video's not going to play, but you get an idea of it there. So it's also famous for a big revival that took place in 1949, the Hebridean Revival, which was nearly 75 years ago. And this is where the revival hit. This is Barvis Church. And I wanted to go there to see what just to be in the place where the revival had hit for the first time before it spread across the rest of the island. We went there. It was a lovely church. It was shut. And there was nothing there to commemorate the revival at all. And we didn't find anything in any of the museums or anywhere else on the island to talk about what has happened in the revival, which is amazing because people from that revival spread across the world as missionaries and they were refreshed and they became much closer to God. It was a huge refreshing and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And on one campsite, we were talking to a local couple who'd moved to the Hebrides from the Mythco, and they were running a campsite, and we said, well, what's it like to live here? And they said, oh, it's fine. Yeah, we've settled in. Life is good here. We enjoy our croft. We've met a few of the locals. They just keep themselves to themselves. Most of them go to church. We don't. But they're all right. Except when you hang your washing out on a Sunday. And then they come round and tell you off. So this lady had built a shed, or her husband had built a shed, so that they could hang the washing out on a Sunday and it wouldn't be seen by the locals. In 75 years, it's gone from revival to religion. I was really grieved by that. I was praying into that. Why would a wonderful revival turn into you can't hang your washing out on a Sunday? It really upset me. I was reminded of this verse. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. You make the word of God have no effect through your tradition which you've handed down. And we, CCF, we must be aware of this. It's 50 years since 373, which is where John and Sheila encountered the Holy Spirit in power, and is where the man who anointed me, prayed for me to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, also received his baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's 40 years this year since CCF became a church. There are some signs that we need to be concerned that we're moving from revival to religion. One of them, this is a bit funny, the main concern at the AGM was tea and coffee. After, by grief over Lewis and Harris, God gave me a word. And he said, don't worry, there are many. I have many on this island. I have many in the UK. And this is part of the word that he gave to me. There will be a harvest. And it will start with a deepening of my people's love for me and hunger for my manifest presence. This will lead to repentance, and a love of my righteousness will replace the love of sin and its pleasures. My people will have a renewed hunger for my word and will receive revelation from my spirit. So we have a responsibility. Before the harvest, God is calling us to repentance. I was led to this verse. This is a letter to the church at Ephesus from Jesus in Revelation 2. This is what he said to them. This was a church which was very successful. They'd done loads of things. He commended them for many things. And he said, I have this one thing against you. You've left first love. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. So just to unpack this a little bit, that word first. In the Greek it's protos. It means foremost, in time, place, order, importance. So it's the first love that we had for Jesus, when we first fell in love with him. You've lost your first love. But it's also the primary importance, the thing of most importance. And I have to, hand on heart, say that I do not have the same love for Jesus as I had at first. And he is not. My love for him is not the most important thing in my life. So I have to repent. It's not just, I'm not coming here and standing up at the front and saying, you've got to do it. This is for me as well. But repentance isn't something that we do. Jesus was very clear on this. If you just go ahead and do new stuff without changing what's going on in your heart and your mind, Jesus says that is hypocrisy. Repentance, the Greek word for repentance, is metanoia. It means to think differently or reconsider. It means to change your mind. God's not too bothered about the stuff that we do, but he's very, very bothered about why we do it. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So repentance starts with changing our mind. Changing our mind. Not what we do, why we do it. What's the motive for what we do? I don't know about you, but I can't change my mind just like that. I can't do it. But Paul in Romans tells us how. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So to change our mind, the Bible says we must renew it. And that word there, renew, that Greek word is dokimazo, which means test and approve. It's not just something which is ephemeral or something that is not really substantive. It's something that you can test and approve. It's real. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may test and approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because we are a spirit who has a soul and who lives in a body. And when we become Christians, our spirit becomes brand new. Your spirit that you have today, if you're a believer, is the same spirit that you will have for eternity. It's holy and it's been completely redeemed and completely saved. But our mind, which is part of our soul, isn't changed when we become saved. And our mind always tends to look towards the flesh, because that's the way it was born. And that's why you can have people who are born again, who have a holy, renewed, saved spirit within them, who behave in a way that is just like the rest of the world, because their mind is focusing on the flesh, on the world. It's not focusing on holiness. It's not focusing on spiritual things. It's focusing on the world. And that is the natural means by which our minds work. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to renew them. However, if we look to the Spirit, if we look to the Spirit rather than the flesh, if we look to the Spirit which is within us, that is the means of renewing our minds. And that's what Sheila shared about, isn't it? What you shared about going to Jesus. Just taking your eyes off whatever the situation was. Say, I'm not going to look at this. I'm going to look at you, Lord. I'm going to look at you. See, God, we've had several words, haven't we? We had a wonderful word through Julia, and we've had a couple of words I shared about God giving us spiritual gifts. They're not much good to us if our minds are looking at the flesh, if our minds are worldly, because we don't know what the Spirit is asking us to do with the gifts. So no matter how many spiritual gifts you've been bestowed with, if you're not renewing your mind by focusing on the Spirit, they're not going to be fulfilled. The writer to the Hebrews says, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the originator, author, and perfecter and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus isn't here to condemn. Jesus isn't here to look at me and say, Alan, why haven't you been focusing on me? Jesus is just here, and when I look at him, he says, oh, there you are. I've been waiting for you. There you are. It's not condemnation. There's no condemnation in the kingdom of God for those who believe. So the challenge for us today is to focus on the grace of God. The grace of God is a person. The grace of God is Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is all-powerful, and he is your Lord and Savior if you are a believer. If you're facing, your mind is looking at the situation in the world like Sheila was sharing about, if you're looking in a fleshly way at all your circumstances, God says from Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you need shall be added to you. So the challenge for me and for all of us is to take our eyes off the circumstances that are challenging us, that we are finding difficult, and lift them from the stuff that's all around here to Jesus. And Jesus will say, there you are. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to come to me. I've been waiting for you. Come here. Come here. John 1 says, the law through Moses was given. The law came on stone tablets, very impersonal, cold. Grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus is grace, and he is truth. The Holy Spirit is here. He's speaking. I know I'm speaking in the front. But he's speaking to each of us in our hearts. If you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, and you're looking at all of your circumstances, you're looking at them with the mind of the world of the flesh, this morning Jesus is here to say, here I am. Will you come to me? I'm not going to change your circumstances necessarily. But if you come to me, my grace will be more than enough to help you overcome. And to those of us who are believers, he's saying, are you ready to continue to renew your mind? Are you ready to change your mind? Are you ready for me to come in and say, that's wrong thinking? you shouldn't be thinking in that way. Are you ready? Are you going to come to me? Are you going to submit to me? Or are you going to continue with your opinions? Because if we don't change our minds, if we don't repent, we will not be effective. We will not be effective. The harvest that is in this rhema will not be brought about through us. God still will bring the harvest. But he intends to use us. And peace there is in this meeting. The Spirit is saying, will you receive my peace? Will you take your eyes off your circumstances? Will you come to me? Will you look to me? Will you allow me to renew your mind? Will you allow me to gently show you the wrong things, the wrong thoughts that you have? I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to bless. I'm here to set you free. Some of us will be convicted about relationships. Some of us will be convicted about financial dealings. Some about preoccupation with work. Some about health. My God shall supply all your needs because of his riches and glory. Jesus says, here I am. Will you come to me? Put aside your worldly things, your worldly thoughts. Draw near to me and allow me to renew.
Thanks, Sam, for that. A challenging word, but an encouraging word. Claire, I know you had a few songs. I don't know whether there's anything you could play for us at the end, if you had anything left. She told me she had 10 songs earlier, so I was thinking, should I chat with them 10? I just thought it'd be really nice, just it doesn't really matter what it is, but just to remain in that attitude of focusing on God, and just perhaps was asking him to point out those things and continue to minister to us as Claire and Lucas, and maybe Peter, the star of Peter's the rest. Just play for us. Sorry if I put you on the spot, Claire.
No, it's fine.
Let's just end with a song or two, and then we'll just let things sort of naturally come to a conclusion. If you need to drift off, you can. But and Jackie reminded me to remind everyone the offering baskets. Thanks, Jackie, because I always forget that. So I'll just pray to officially close. Thank you, Jesus, for this time and your goodness that's so revealed in what Alan said, and your gentleness to us, and the fact there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in that confidence, as we come to you, just as we end here, we pray that we would be confident to open our hearts to you for what you want to do in us. Amen.
Can we do When I Look Into Your Holy Eyes?